Hello, everyone. Thank you and welcome to this episode of Love in the Mirror, the Art of the Pause. This week, I will be the guest for the Love in the Mirror podcast, and I'm so glad to share this time with you. Our topic this week is the art of the pause, and I'll be going over some things that I practice, that I remember to practice when I need to, and all the ways that I forget, so that our mind could have a minute. The mind usually needs a project, but we need to take a deep breath and just see what's really the best next step in whatever we're facing. So thanks for joining me. I look forward to this conversation and time with you today. Welcome to Love in the Mirror. So again, thank you for being here. I'm Shannon Bodie, your host of the Love in the Mirror podcast. And you'll hear in this episode, The Art of the Pause, some of the reasons and practices that I really adore and have come to depend on over the years, and also some of the ways that I work with clients, with groups, in Inner Peace Rising as a health and wellness coach. But of course, you know, we have to practice what we really need the most, right? We teach what we need to learn the most. At least that is very true for me. And so it's with great humility that I share some of these practices in this episode with you today, because, my friends, I do not practice these every time I need them. When I catch it, I have the most compassion for myself I possibly can. And then I come back to this canon of tools that so many incredible teachers, old and new, ancient and modern, have brought into my realm of practice, healing work, coaching work over the last 20 years. And so what I'm going over today are just some of the favorites and some of the most recent incarnations that are fun and relevant in my day-to-day experience. And my intention for you all is to walk away with a few of them. Maybe they remind you of some you already have. Maybe they spark a new creative flow or energy that helps you in your day-to-day. When you need to take a pause, when you need to take a deep breath, when things are overwhelming, or simply when you'd like to bring more focus and intention or presence to a project or those in front of you, those at your dinner table. So that's what we're going over today. So to let you know what we're listening to and covering, you're welcome to, depending on your degree of availability with multitasking, you're welcome to try any of these with me. I'm not going to walk through each of them with you as an experience, but I do encourage you to take a look at the show notes or write things down, especially if your intuition gives you a hit of, ooh, that would be really excellent. I need that in this circumstance. Feel free to take notes. Feel free to take a listen, because this will be chock full of what essentially could be a workshop, but hopefully in a fun podcast variation. What we're covering: some mantra and affirmation first, ways to breathe, so intentionally breathing, including some movement, ways to, in my favorite, of course, the pop song just gets stuck in my head every time, to shut up and dance with me, ways to bring song and movement. And then finally, one of my favorite things in the coaching realm is how we habit stack or create triggers for ourselves to remind ourselves to do these practices when we need them most. So looking at habit automation in some of these and how I've done a few of these over time that may also be useful for you. So where to practice them? We often need to give the mind, and quite frankly, the nervous system, a reason to calm down, a reason to reboot. And in all of my favorite mindfulness practice and study over the years, one of my favorite ways I've heard this presented is just that the mind needs a project. Our dear sweet mind, our cerebral cortex is amazing. Our hindbrain is amazing. Our amygdala limbic function, they all pull together so beautifully to protect us and to keep us busy. And so they're just running their program, these parts of the brain. And in that running of the program, our nervous system may ramp up and, you know, stay a little more on than we need it to in the moment. It also might bring back cues of the past that are not useful in the present. just because dear sweet brain and mind is doing its job. So we give it a project to calm down and to reroute when we'd like to bring presence, focus, or a new energy and fresh perspective to the moment. So mantra and affirmation. I say both because with my yoga background, mantra is one of my favorite ways to explain it, but affirmation is how a lot of the rest of the world looks at the same concept. Simply something we repeat to ourselves as a form of self-talk. In the yoga world, mantra has a lot to do with really repeating Sanskrit in a meaningful way so that literally our nervous system can respond. And that could be a whole other podcast. That's a really rich, beautiful, incredible long tradition. And so I want to honor that with that description. But know that I'll use those terms interchangeably today. For our purposes, it's what can you repeat to yourself that brings you into the moment and goes, oh yeah, I don't have to be freaking out here. I don't have to have my heart racing. If I say this to myself, then I can take a step back. So here are a few of my favorites and some of my current and teachers that have helped me remember them. And I offer such deep reverence and respect to everyone who reminds me of these. One of my favorite teachers, and I highly recommend her work in so many ways, is Tara Brach, she is a Buddhist psychologist, and TaraBrach.com is her website. And one of my favorite practices that she brings in day to day, and she has some very beautiful live guided meditations on this, is the practice of RAIN, which stands for recognize, acknowledge, gently investigate, and not attach or identify. Without getting too deeply into this practice, I really want to just recommend checking that out. RAIN, when I notice, for example, that I'm getting upset about something, maybe it's a conversation with my partner, coworker, I'm feeling pretty reactive in the moment. RAIN helps me to say, oh, I recognize I'm upset right now. Something's going on. Then without trying to fix it, I can A, acknowledge it. Oh, this is happening. This is a practice of naming. I don't need to try to change it first because so many teachings and a great deal of research now shares that we need to just acknowledge it first before we can change the pattern. So taking a deep breath with some compassion to myself in the moment, I can say, ah, okay, this is happening right now. And it might be the 900th time that a response has showed up. And that's okay. The I, or gentle investigation, I emphasize gentle, is this isn't a hyper analysis, digging to the root of why is this happening again? But the investigation is an asking of yourself, what do I need right now? Why is this here? Much like we would a child who is frightened, or a dear friend who is really freaking out in her presence and we just want to offer her some support, say, hey, what's going on? What's going on here? Take a second. And when you can, to let that need behind the reaction show up. The N is then to not identify with it. Now we can always take 5, 10 minutes, an hour with this. And if you have questions on this or any of the practices we're doing today on how to do that more skillfully, please reach out because each one of these can be its own practice. But the not identify is in itself to say, oh, I can take a step back. I can see this as a reaction. As a reaction perhaps to a memory. As a response of my nervous system, my limbic system, my body trying to protect me from something this reminds me of. Or my body protecting me from something that is a real challenge or a danger. And I can honor that. But I don't have to live inside the story of that reaction. 9 times out of 10, this is hopefully even more often than that, this is not a dangerous situation. This is something that may remind us of that, something that previously made us more fearful, sad, angry, upset. And it also might bring up those feelings in real time. So by not identifying, we can relate to the emotion that it's bringing up. Say, okay, what skill, what support can I bring to this process? So that is perhaps the shortest description of RAIN that you'll ever hear me offer. Please, for more questions, let me know about any of these. That's a Tara Barak. Thank you for that. The second mantra or affirmation, a lot of these are acronyms because they're quick and easy to remember in the moment. I'm upset. Ooh, RAIN. I'm upset. Here's my next one. ELF. Easy, light, and free. ELF. And I thank my dear coach, Cindy Marshall. She's been a guest on the podcast for reminding me of this fabulous mantra delivered through acronym. I don't know about you all, but there are times where I maybe get a little ahead of myself, get a little caught up in a project, and then I'm immediately not in the present. And those who love me are patient when that happens. But I also find that I don't enjoy the moment very much when I get into that space. And it could be about something really important, really joyful. But if I start to get into a list about what has to get done around it, then that for me is my trigger and reminder to go to ELF. Wait, this can be easy, light, and free or fun. So the F can be choose your F. That sounds funny, but free or fun, both, whichever resonates best with you. How easy can this be? And one of my amazing teachers, Kate Stillman, says that a lot. How easy can this be? So that immediately stops me and any beliefs around this has to be hard. I have to struggle to learn it. I can just enjoy it. Wait a minute. This could actually be easy, light, especially if there's an energy of heaviness, over seriousness, over an analysis. Or if I'm noticing that I'm taking on the energy and burden of others, which as an empath and a helper, I often take on or adapt to the energy of others just as such old habit that, oh, wait, I can be lighter here. I can bear witness to someone else's pain and process and not take it on. I can stay light, right? And then I just love the reminder of, wait, this could be fun. How can I bring fun to this? Even if it's in the course of a spreadsheet, these are necessary tips and tools. Even if it's in the course of paying my bills, or if it's in the course of sitting down with my daughter for homework and she's really frustrated, if I can bring that ELF to that process, then we're all the better for it. Here's a couple more. One of the practices that I've leaned into, and quite frankly, that really defines my whole relationship to the world in the last 15 years of my life, is leaning into the divine source energy that's here. For me, I use lots of nouns for that. God, spirit, universe. And for those of you who are listening, I just invite whatever that deep, rich meaning is for you. So you may have a higher belief in source, Christ consciousness, Buddha consciousness. You might have a religious practice that you really imbibe and know in your life. And so please know that when I invite this practice, this is really just coming from where I bring that orientation into my day-to-day living as much as I can. Because I find that when I have surrendered to that, that's brought so many incredible gifts and gratitude into my life, and it informs everything. So for me, I really let spirit lead. I have a couple of current reminders, affirmations, and teachings that help me remember that in the moment. For some of you, that might be a quote. It might be scripture. It might be a mantra from your yoga practice. It might be a teaching that a parent passed on to you or a prayer. It might be something you repeat in meditation. A couple of mine lately are from one of my favorite new authors, new to me, Tosha Silver, and her books that have completely brought so much joy and practice into my life in this year are Outrageous Openness and Answer Me Prayers. And there she offers just some lovely affirmations and mantras. So if you're hungry for some new ones and her language resonates with you, it really did with me. I always say we find our teachers, find the language that really resonates with you because we want a mantra, an affirmation to be easy, light, and free. We don't want to be arguing with it in our head when we need it in the moment. So find one that feels like either a hug or a deep internal solid yes when you say it to yourself, so that you can take ownership of it when your body really needs it. And hers was let spirit lead. We're calling in divine order to remember, divine order is already here. All I need to do is sit back and trust it. So for me, I use that as an affirmation, a mantra. I'm confused right now. I'm trying to do too many things at once. Perhaps I'm really grieving. Or I don't know which step to take next. Wait, I can just call on divine order. It's already here. And then, of course, one of my new faves, it's an older song by now, but our dear Carrie Underwood, Jesus Take the Wheel. It's an intention for life. And that song may not resonate with you, but boy, it's working for me right now. If I remind myself, Jesus Take the Wheel, and my girlfriends can laugh at me about it and laugh with me about it, then I know and can remember, wait, this isn't all up to me. I get to co-create this experience with divine order, with higher consciousness, with God. And Jesus Take the Wheel takes me right into knowing that 9 times out of 10. So those are my mantras delivered from so many traditions and lineages, but most recently with Tosha Silver and Carrie Underwood. So thank you, ladies, for those. And then finally, mantra that I also borrow from Taryn Brock is to not give any second arrows. And I've worked with clients with this over the years a lot. The second arrow applies to maybe we already have an awareness about a pattern in ourselves. And then when we see ourselves in it, because again, our dear sweet brain and mind is trying to keep us safe, then we beat ourselves up for the pattern happening, right? So great example of this. When I have been, as I have shared a couple of times, a recovering perfectionist about things, maybe it's with working out, maybe it's with meal planning, maybe it's with work performance. And I know I've been working on this pattern in myself for a few years and doing some things to pause, reset, and tell myself, trust me, this is good enough. I promise it's good enough work. It's good enough effort for your body. It's good enough eating. Give yourself a break. The reminder of to not stab myself with a second arrow really helps. So what Tara Brock teaches us here is, rather than when we catch ourselves in a pattern and say, oh my gosh, here I go again. I can't believe this is happening. If you're listening, I guarantee, well, I hope many of us have been there, right? It could be in relationships. I can't believe I'm dating the same person again. And it might not be the same person, but my goodness, it's the same archetype of every other person you dated before. Or I can't believe I'm seeing this pattern in my body again. I can't believe I've fallen off the wagon of this habit that I'm desperately trying to create. What Don't Take On the Second Arrow reminds us of is, wait a minute. This is a normal, natural part of the change process. We are not going to do everything perfectly. We are not robots. It's okay. Don't kick yourself while you're down. Go ahead and come back up. Refuse to beat yourself up for the pattern showing up. Because when that may it be troublesome pattern shows up in us, that's just a sign that we need some more support. It's a sign that maybe we've fallen out of presence or consciousness a little bit, or maybe that we need a deeper layer of care. It's the equivalent of when a child is having a tantrum, screaming at them louder to get them to calm down. If you're a parent or you've ever worked with kids, you know how effective that is, right? That child who's screaming and having a tantrum is usually terrified, angry, devastated in some way, and dealing with a bunch of signals from their dear body and nervous system that they don't know how to handle. So in that moment, rather than adding to the pain for ourselves, pause. Treat that recurring pattern with the compassion you would a dear friend, and with some patience. So, no second arrows is one of my favorite mantras. And those of you who may know the work of Kristen Neff, I've also related back some of her practices in those work with mantra. So it's not a specific mantra I've referenced, but her practices and amazing research on self-compassion are also at the core of a lot of these. She has proven through her research, thank you, that being more compassionate with ourselves is actually far more effective in the process of change than being unkind to ourselves. So one of her practices is, how would you treat a dear friend in this moment? So perhaps that is another affirmation or mantra for you that you can look into. And her website is selfcompassion.org. I definitely invite you to take a look at her resources. They're phenomenal. So the mantras: easy, light, and free, or fun, elf, rain. For me, calling in divine order or Jesus take the wheel, whatever your version is of that, please make it yours. No second arrows. And what would a dear friend need right now? What would you say to a dear friend calling on the self-compassion practice? So let's take a pause. Maybe if you're listening there, pick maybe one of those that really resonated with you. And maybe my language rings true with you. My language is, as you know, we all know, filtered through these teachers. And there are ways that I've made that mine over the years. I put on the filter of authenticity for mine whenever I'm listening, even to an offering like this or a podcast. Like, how would that make sense to me? How could I see that using, you know, making sense in my own day-to-day practice? So maybe pick your favorite. And then we'll go into a few breathing strategies. So I said, breathe already. Oh, and that's something I tell myself. Take a deep breath, honey. Just breathe. Also a great song if you need that one. But with my yoga background and teaching and practice, I've been a yoga student for the last, oh my goodness, 22 years. And yoga came into my life as a deep healing practice when I really needed it. I was a very stressed out student in grad school in the Bay Area, working two jobs to pay rent in San Francisco. And this dates me a little bit. The first day of my counseling internship was 9/11. So if that gives you any framework of where things started for me, at least in the mega profession, that was definitely a trial by fire and pretty amazing. I was also smoking a lot, coping eating a lot at that time in my life. And I had a lot of friends and fun community, but I wasn't really taking great care of myself in it. And I was also terrified of yoga because I thought it was for bendy, pretzely, really skinny people. And that wasn't me. I didn't really feel good in my skin or in my body. And I knew I didn't feel comfortable in yoga class. And then one of my friends in grad school invited me to go to a restorative yoga class. And that changed everything. We got to lay down on blankets and breathe. And that was the only form of yoga I probably did for a year. But I learned about my breath. And there were days where I would go to class and just cry because that's where I started to learn about how emotion got stored up in my body from several things over the years. And that really, and of course, divinely, that was the same time that I got into energy psychology study with some dear teachers and mentors, and started to learn how to address some of those things that I had taken on or been stored from my childhood and background. And so breathing became my yoga, and that evolved over the years. Now, when you get into breathing practices, so in the yoga world, it's pranayama, or movement of energy in Sanskrit, through the breath. There are also some contraindications to be aware of. So if you're getting deep into pranayama practice, I really recommend safely seeking out a practitioner and a teacher that can guide you through it so that you're doing the practices carefully in a way that honors your own physiology and nervous system. So please, with this, and of course with anything in this podcast, I always make that disclaimer, this is not medical advice. Make sure you're proceeding safely. And at the same time, I want to recommend a couple of simple ones that are really nice to get started with that also balance our nervous system. And one of my favorite go-tos is alternate nostril breathing, or Nadi Shodhana. So it's a simple inhale through the left, exhale through the right, inhale through the right, exhale out the left side of the nostrils. That looks like, as you're beginning the practice, you take a few breaths, and with any breathing work, we never start at a pace that's anything less than perfectly comfortable, right? So you make sure that you feel like you have a nice access to your breath. You feel relaxed. You don't want to start a new breathing practice when you're already excited or nervous or angry. Probably don't want to start it while you're in traffic, although while I'm waiting in gridlock, it's one of my favorite times to use it. So it looks like, bringing your hands in front of your face and letting your index finger and middle finger either rest out in space or rest in the center of the forehead, closing off your right nostril with the thumb, and then exhaling out the left side. Inhale through the left nostril, close the left nostril with your fourth finger, and exhale out the right. Inhale right, close the right with the thumb, exhale left, and so on. There are several guided practices of alternate nostril breathing. And this is still right now, this year has been one of my favorites to do before meditation to really help me center. It's simple. We're accessing a great deal of energy balancing support. That's a whole other lesson too, but we're accessing the energy channels, the nadis, which are called nadis in the body, to help open, balance, and cleanse them. And it really also brings just a delightful, I find, balancing of the nervous system. So for many of us, if we feel a little too amped up, it helps us calm down. If we feel a little low, it helps bring us up. So it's a really sweet balancing technique. And it, of course, gives the mind a product, a practice before we need to calm down, right? Samavritti or even count breath is another one of my favorites. And that's just as it's comfortable for you, closing the mouth and inhaling through the nose, counting how long your inhale is comfortably, exhaling through the nose, and let that exhale count match. So inhaling for a count of four, exhaling for a count of four. When we can, inhaling deep from the belly and accessing that deeper breath slowly, and exhaling, letting the belly completely relax. And what's really beautiful and crucial here is accessing that deep belly breath with that inhale and exhale. Because when we do, we are activating the parasympathetic nervous system response. We are activating the rest and digest, calm down response. So literally with the breath, we can trick our nervous system. We can tell the whole body that we are safe, even if the mind does not believe it. So by simply slowly, gently, and comfortably accessing that deeper belly breath with an even count inhale and exhale, we can change our whole neurophysiology response in a few minutes. It might not fix the problem we're facing, but it sure can bring us to a new, incredibly refreshed point of view in which to address it, where we're accessing our skills, our problem solving, and whichever form we believe our higher power, and being able to listen to that in a much more clear channel. So those are some of my two favorite breathing practices. Taking a deep breath with you as we talk about it. The next two breathing practices involve some movement with them. And they come from a variety of traditions and teachings, but Donna Eden, who is one of my premier, most favorite teachers in energy medicine, her work with her husband, Dr. David Feinstein, has just brought so much together in lovely practices that we can practice anytime. I can't say enough about her work. One of my favorites is the zip up and zip down. So she takes that inhale and exhale with a movement that's also tracing one of the meridians in the body. Excuse me. Our central meridian is the meridian or energy channel that runs up the front body and really interacts with everything we face in the world. When we walk into a room, and folks are in there. We absorb all that energy through the central meridian. It feeds our chakras that are the wheels of energy throughout our energy system. And that meridian takes on a lot. So the zip up and zip down allows us to acknowledge that, release it, and zip up with intention. I lead this with clients a lot. It's one of my favorites. So the tracing of it, the meridian itself starts at the base of the pubic bone, runs up the front body, and stops at the soft palate in the mouth. And without making this an energy anatomy session, please feel free to send me questions about how the rest of this works. It's one of my favorite things to lead folks through and talk about because it's effective. So to zip down, you can physically trace from that divot in the chin all the way down the front body to just between the belly button and pubic bone, or even, you know, trace about an inch or so outside the body, whatever feels more comfortable for you. And with an exhale, there's the breath part, simply exhale and imagine that you are unzipping or releasing anything you've taken on. You may or may not be aware even of all the things you've taken on. You might be acutely aware of it. Maybe it's been a tense family gathering over the holidays or a tough day at work, or you've seen, you know, lots of maybe tragedy that day. You saw a car accident, whatever that is. But exhaling and releasing any energy you've taken on that no longer serves you, just simply imagining draining that of that which you don't need. I like to exhale and then sort of fling my hand off to the side. And I always say not to, you know, shake energy goo onto anyone else. I just have that physical shaking off and releasing of that. And then an inhale, of course, is zipping up that meridian with intention. Zipping it up. And I've taught this so many years. My favorite anecdote about the zip up, zip down is I was teaching this in middle school once. Actually on a reservation in Arizona, and teaching this to middle schoolers was quite hilarious. One of them told me, "But isn't your fly down? We don't want our fly to be down." That is very true. We don't want our energy fly to be down. We want to zip up and infuse with an inhale and our breath the energy we'd like to be in touch with, attract and cultivate throughout our day, or perhaps before going to sleep. So it might be inhaling and zipping up with your intention of love, humor, joy. Maybe it's zipping up with a mantra like easy, light, and fun, or zipping up with self-compassion. Maybe it's zipping up with a beautiful boundary that you need to set for yourself and someone else in relationship. But you get to set the stage that way. And a deep breath in also gives your nervous system that trigger and response. Lovely. So I know I said I'd do a couple of Donna Eden ones, but that's my favorite with breath for our purposes today. And trust me, there'll be lots more along the way if you're listening in other episodes. Zip up and zip down. So the breathing. That breathe already, sweetie. My favorite go-tos right now, alternate nostril breathing, samafriti, or even count breath, that 4 to 5 count inhale and exhale at your pace, and the zip up, zip down, our Donna Eden practice. So maybe taking note of which one of those might resonate with you. Can also simply be taking 3 deep breaths in with an audible exhale. Because that audible exhale, that sigh, I know in our culture, sometimes that could be seen as disdain or a sign of frustration or passive aggressive. But a sweet audible sigh out the mouth also activates our calming systems because it tickles our vagus nerve. That's a whole geek out thing. But that helps us access deep relaxation in the belly too. So a nice sigh out loud. Really makes a big difference. And whenever I teach yoga, I encourage people to sigh as loud as possible. So if that feels weird to you, feel free to do that nice and loud when you're by yourself. Maybe it's in your car. Give it a try. And that's, quite frankly, the simplest breathing practice and also very effective. So I promise some music or shut up and dance with me moves. And these are more reminders. I am not a professional dancer. Anyone who knows and loves me, or those who have even seen me dance in public, know that's not true. But putting on a good song and dancing it out is another favorite place to pause, especially for me in family life right now. One of the ways this has become really effective and fun is, I don't know about you all, but when you want everyone in your life to feel better, you want to fix their problems, that doesn't really work with our kids when they come home from school. And when my daughter comes home and she's had a rough day, our number one ritual to pause, to reset, is we put on a good song and dance it out. And it can be as dorky or silly as possible. Currently on the playlist, Taylor Swift happens a lot. Just saying. Whatever that is for you, right? So Shake It Off. That's a big one. We also have Music in the Car. That's a ritual on our way to school. And finding those, and it might be with anybody in your life, might be your kiddos, might be yourself, but the song you can put on that you know is a good 3 to 4 minute mood booster lifter that takes you out of your head. This is not, you know, a really fancy practice, but I had to put it in here in the art of the pause, because one song and some movement, because when we move, we change our minds. Move your body, change your mind. That makes a big difference. I recently went to the Rise Business Conference with Rachel Hollis, and it was a totally fun, life-changing experience. And she had us get up and dance anytime she felt like there was energy changing in the room and that it was, you know, sort of a downturn. And if that energy wasn't big enough as a response, we had to do it again until we were authentically joyful. We had to check our cool cards at the door. But she said this over and over, that move your body, change your mind. And I find even when I do that, in the course, it could be a very long work day. If I put on one song and dance or even wiggle it out or move my neck and head around and relax my jaw and get really dorky with myself for 2 minutes, gosh, I'm bringing much more productivity to what I got to do next. So that, you know, dancing, putting on a good song, in any way that means for you, it could be dancing in your seat. It could be, maybe you don't have access to music, but what's the song you can remind yourself of that you play in your head when you need it, right? Oh, when I hear that song, it makes me happy just even thinking about it. Whatever those are, maybe write your one or two down right now that are your go-tos. And that music, just like breath work, just like mantra and affirmation, can lift us up or calm us down. So maybe you need to drop down, to get more calm, to relax. Music can also be that sweet invitation there. So maybe there's a slower song that it's not too slow. It still meets your energy where it is, but it helps you settle in. So it might be in preparing for meditation. It might be helping you get calm before something. But what's one or two? Maybe it's a classical music piece. There are so many lovely chants and mantra pieces of music out there that you might search for. Again, each one of these bullet points could be a whole podcast in and of itself. But just an invitation, a reminder to maybe get a couple of those on a sticky note for yourself. What's a song that when I really need to pause helps me get there? And finally, with all of these, when we need to give the mind a project, it's real easy to forget, right? So one of my favorite things about the coaching realm with clients and with myself is this art of habit stacking. Of creating triggers and pairing reminders for ourselves in the day-to-day so that we don't forget to do it. So think about where it might make the most sense for you and where you can. One of my favorites is when I put my keys in my car. Now, again, I don't do this as often as I need to, but what I remember, before I put my keys in my car and start the engine, I take 3 deep breaths. Keys equal breath. And that's become a habit automation for me that my body knows how to do it. Once we practice a habit stacking enough, that automatic process takes over and we don't have to remember, like brushing your teeth, right? So what's something you already do that you could stack on one of these practices with, right? For me, I brush my teeth in the morning. Then I know I go sit on my meditation cushion, whatever that is, in that morning. Brush teeth, meditate. And it's so automatic that when I don't do it, even when I'm, you know, out of town, that's how I can create those anchors for myself. Oh, I might be in a hotel room, but I'm going to brush teeth and then meditate wherever I am, right? So find what that habit stacking trigger is for you, and one that's really easy to stack. So pick one of these. One, keep it easy on yourself. Remember, so we can be compassionate. And maybe tie it onto an already existing habit where you know you're going to have time. Or if there's a triggering situation you know is coming up for you, or it's a triggering situation that's happening regularly, can we tie it onto that so we can pause? Before I look at this complicated spreadsheet, I'm going to play that Taylor Swift song. Before I have this conversation with this family member, I'm going to call on my higher power, or for me, call in divine order. And if you've been to my house, you know there's sticky notes everywhere there to help me remember. So whatever system you need to remember so that you can get that habit pairing going, that's a way to put this into practice in a way that really is meaningful for you. I've covered so much today. So much. And please tune into future episodes because we will be talking about the art of the habit stacking of that cue and response so we can get more refined with it when we're trying a new habit. We're also going to be talking later episodes about music and how to use music to drop down and into, you know, a deeper state of relaxation for yourself. I hope that you have walked away with a reminder of a practice that you already love, or a few more ideas in your pocket that you can employ today. And if you need help on any of these, don't hesitate to email me. I'm Shannon@innerpeacerising.com. And I invite you to innerpeacerising.com, particularly for our Love in the Mirror course. This course goes into all of these practices. And you get to join us together for 6 months or a full year this year. And I really invite you to come in so you can have some of that deeper guidance practice and in a community of support that's walking through all these together. So please take a look at innerpeacerising.com and the Love in the Mirror courses that are starting in 2020. There's also depending on when you're listening right now, a free download of a full Love in the Mirror Hour class. So please take a look at those offerings. Let me know your thoughts, your questions, and I look forward to being in touch with you all soon. Thank you so much, everyone, for being here. So thank you, everyone, for being with me today. It was a delight just to share some of my favorite things with you. That art of the pause and how we can get there. And trust me, this is not from a place of having it down perfectly, but from a place of reminding myself and others that we have tools, we have the things available for us so that we're not alone when things get challenging, and so we can stay centered and have deep access to that peace that's already here. I thank you all for being with me today. I'm Shannon Bodie, and I look forward to being with you on the next episode of Love in the Mirror.